This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Quarterback dominoes falling all over the place. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So Matthew Stafford goes back to L.A., reunites with Sean McVay, happened around on Friday. So that means now a couple things, Pearl. You got teams who are definitely looking for QBs. And this is very good, I think, for a couple different people. First and foremost, Aaron Rodgers. Suddenly Aaron Rodgers looking a little bit shinier, a little bit cooler, a little smoother, a little more like, oh, you know, there's not often we're going to get a four-time MVP for as low as his stock might be right now. Hey, if we need a bridge guy, if we need someone to stabilize, something like that, you could do a lot worse than Aaron Rodgers. I think he's the biggest winner out of this, no doubt.
So specifically, what teams do you think are changing their opinion on Aaron Rodgers because of this?
I think probably the two teams that were in hot pursuit of Stafford. I think the Giants, definitely. And I think maybe even the Raiders, although that feels like a lot of personalities. Brady, Chip Kelly, Pete Carroll, and now to bring Aaron Rodgers in feels like some kind of football Mad Libs.
Well, but the Raiders, the report I mentioned earlier in the show, Mike Silver said, who's really connected to them, that they're going to go after Russell Wilson and Sam Darnold. So it's a stew of average choices.
Well, here's the thing, though. Darnold, you may have to give some draft compensation if the Vikings decide to franchise tag.
Yeah, there's a lot of reports they won't do that.
Okay, well, we'll see. Yeah. And then Russell Wilson, like, at least with Wilson and Rodgers, you don't have to give anything up, you know?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think you started this off by Rodgers looks shinier. These are imperfect choices everywhere. I actually like Rodgers, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because Stafford was a two-year, $100 million deal and a draft pick. Sam Darnold is going to be a multi-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
And Rodgers, what's the downside? You have one bad year.
A couple McAfee interviews, a couple of new conspiracy theories. I mean, again, I think Rodgers ends up being the big winner off of the Stafford news, but he's not the only one. I would also say the other big winner off of Stafford returning to L.A. has got to be the Tennessee Titans, if they really are taking phone calls about trading out of that number one pick. If this is all a smokescreen and they're taking Cam Ward, which, by the way, I would if I were Tennessee, but say they really are soliciting calls and they want some haul, well, Cam Ward has become the prize of the draft as far as quarterbacks are concerned. So now that Stafford is gone, if you're the Raiders, if you're the Jets, if you're the Giants even, and you think, all right, I got to trade up now, did that package of draft picks and future compensation and all that just get a whole lot bigger? That bundle could have gotten bigger because now Stafford's off the market.
I mean, yes, I understand what you're saying, but in reality, do you think it changes anything? Like, who are the teams that really want Cam Ward? I would think the Jets and the Titans are the hottest team.
Why not the Raiders?
Yeah, it's funny. It doesn't. You're not hearing a lot of Raiders Cam Ward talk. Like, I don't think the Raiders are going to mortgage their future to go from 6 to 1 because that's a lot. That's a five
big
spaces,
yep.
And they need all those draft picks. The Giants, a little bit of a smaller jump, but they also need those draft picks. So I'm not sure. I think they were going for Stafford because they thought they weren't going to get Cam Ward. So I don't know if those teams. It feels like the feels to me for some reason. Jets seem to love Cam Ward, and they haven't talked about any of these veterans. You notice that? And they just got rid of Rodgers, so I feel like they want the opposite of Rodgers, which is a young guy.
Well, you know what? It could be mutual admiration society between Cam Ward and the Jets. Here is the former Miami quarterback saying he thinks he fits very well with New York.
I know it would be elite, especially with the receiving core they have, the defense they have. Being able to talk with their head coach for the first time was exciting. And so, you know, I think the Jets are, you know, not too far off. Maybe a couple pieces. You know, I'm just hoping I can be one of them.
The delusion that every Jets person tells themselves. I'm just kidding. Are they a few pieces off? Yeah, a few dozen. No, I can't help it. But
Jesus.
I'm sorry. But
look at Tennessee's roster before you say that, by the way.
So,
he'd
be
like,
fair,
get me to the Jets.
Cam was very complimentary of the Titans also and the Giants also, and it'd be silly for him to say anything less. But listen, there could be something there. Again, I think Tennessee is the big winner, though, along with Aaron Rodgers. Tennessee is the big winner with Matthew Stafford returning to the Rams because that number one pick just got a whole lot juicier, and Aaron Rodgers looks a lot better as a bridge QB.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly if it changed anything for Cam Ward. I agree with you, by the way. The Titans need to take Cam Ward. Like, they cannot screw around with these draft picks unless they really, really, really are all in on Arch and can tank a year. I don't think tanking like that happens in the NFL. And maybe once the season starts and you're bad, but I don't think anyone like the Titans are looking at this and saying, well, we could pass on a quarterback and get a bunch of draft picks and plan for the future. Because if they go with Will Levis next year, that's just going to be very bad for the coach. I think they go 2-15 and he gets fired. And like, where are you? You're ground zero again.
I mean, you have the number one pick this year. You've got to make the most of it. I don't think you can be looking at, oh, are we going to be able to tank for next year? It's, you know, that's hard to do. I mean, the Jags did it, but it's hard to do.
Well, and then it's funny, the Browns, Giants, Raiders, all of them, like, they're lost right now. This is a very bad spot to be in. I think you're going to see some teams entering the season with not huge expectations.
So it's funny because of all those teams, I mean, obviously the Giants, like Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, are clearly on the hot seat. So they have jobs that they're trying to save. For the Raiders, though, this is where it gets really interesting because I think that Pete Carroll and Tom Brady combination, Carroll coming out and saying, we're going to win now, and Tom Brady just being involved, I think has raised the expectation for Las Vegas. Now, I'm not saying that's right, but I think their actions are been designed to signal to the rest of the league, hey, we're going to try to be competitive this year.
Yeah.
And we're not just taking the year off and going to reset or try to get Arch Manning or whatever. And so I guess it's admirable. I have no idea how they're going to pull this off, though.
Well, I mean, they haven't really done anything in 24 years. I don't see why this would be any different.
Well, is it going to be Sam Darnold? Is it going to be hope and pray for Shador falls to you or you trade up? There's nothing obvious here, yet they continue to talk like they're going to be this really competitive team when you play in an outrageous division and you have no quarterback. And it's not like your defense is lights out. So I don't know what Raider fans want here. I think Shador is probably the best option, but then you have a rookie quarterback starting, Perloff. I don't know how you can be talking tough about winning right away when you're starting a rookie.
Well, he's old, though. He's 23. He's like Jaden Daniels. He's been around a lot, thrown a lot of passes. If I drafted Shador at 6, he's definitely a start right now guy.
Yeah.
Because he's older. And I think he's experienced enough that he'd be fine. And it's indoors. I like a lot about it. I would not go all in on Kirk Cousins, for example, and then have Shador sit behind him. Well, he doesn't need to do that. Might as well take his lumps. And the guy gets hit all the time. He's used to it at this point. That's not the healthiest thing, but he's played behind some bad O-lines. He'll be fine there. I think they'd be thrilled if Shador fell to number 6. I do think there's another option, though, which is go for a second-round quarterback. If Jalen Milroe falls to them, some other solution. There's a lot of creative things to do here. I don't know why you would be focused on this year. If they're sending out that message, it's the wrong message because their win total is going to be 5.5 games. There's no way this team can pull a Washington. It's just not in the cards.
Let's hear from NFL insider Ian Rappaport, who was talking about Shador Sanders and the consensus on Shador. Well, there is no consensus.
Shador Sanders seems like he acquitted himself well in interviews. This week, too, his overall knowledge was good. He, of course, has talked about the change in culture he's had two different places. Certainly in contention to be QB2, but I'm not sure that we are there yet.
Okay, not there yet that he's QB2. Not second, not number two to Cleveland, just QB2, Pearl. That it Cam Warden, that it could be someone else. Okay, so who else could that be? Here's Ian Rappaport about who teams are also impressed with.
Jackson Dart impressed teams as well, threw really nicely behind us. Quinn Ewers wasn't asked to do a ton in college. I know teams were sort of like wondering why. You can see the way he threw out there today. He's got the arm talent. He's also got the confidence. Maybe a little more of a quiet guy, but got the confidence.
Okay, more from Rapport. QB2 position, so very much up in the air.
It seems to me to be more up in the air as far as who is QB2, who is QB3, and that process is going to shake out over the next couple weeks. Wouldn't be surprised to see another in the top five. Wouldn't be surprised to see another there in the top 10. Still a long way to go.
I mean, this is how hard up the league is for quarterbacks. To me, this is not about the talent of the guys who are in this particular class. This is all about Stafford going back to the Raiders and taking a QB needy team off the board. Not taking a QB needy team off the board. And all about guys that are either about to lose their jobs and need quarterbacks, or this draft process falsely pushing dudes up in the draft. Like, well, you're going to have another guy go top 10? Who out of this particular crop?
Well, I mean, it always happens, right? Like, Baker Mayfield went from second rounder to first rounder in a month. So it's not unusual. But you say why would Jackson Dart not be a first rounder, by the way? Like, what is it about Jackson Dart that stats are first rounder stats. You might say it was because of Lane Kiffin offense. He obviously was the number one overall recruit. He's big. You saw him throw at the combine. He looks like a stud. So I think that, like, it sometimes maybe we underestimate the way NFL views quarterbacks. So I don't think it's necessarily the bad guys are getting pushed up, because I think a lot of these guys were as productive in college as anyone we saw last year. I mean, Jackson Dart and Dylan Gabriel and Will Howard won a title, for God's sake. I mean, what did J.J. McCarthy do that Will Howard didn't? So I think I don't necessarily agree with it that these are, you kind of imply that these are lesser quarterbacks that are getting pushed up by demand.
Yeah.
They're pretty, I mean, they're very successful guys.
So Jackson Dart, 6'2 and 2/8. So I don't think, that's not huge.
Well, right, but it's, you know, an inch taller than Cam Warden and Shador Sanders.
Okay, that's fine.
6'2 and 2/8, fine.
But he's not huge. Like, he's not a 6'4 quarterback or something like that. You said he's got good size. I would say he's fine.
What's his weight?
223.
That's pretty good. I mean, still, he's much bigger than Cam Warren and Shador Sanders are going 1 and 2.
I'm just saying, it's not John Elway back there. When you said he's got good size, I think people think of, you know, 6'5 quarterback, like a Tom Brady type. That's not true. But that's fine. I think that as far as Jackson Dart, I think that, yes, you look at the numbers, you see the offense that he ran, though, in college, which is not a pro style, not under center, which a lot of guys aren't, but apparently he was taking some snaps under center at the combine. And I think the more you watch him, the more that you can poke holes in, you know, what he does, which is turnovers at end of games, you know, not being smart with the football. I think that's something, you know, the how do you process the field, I would say, would be something I'd love to know about Jackson Dart.
Jackson Dart was destructive in how he played at the end of the year against Florida and the games against, he beat Georgia once, but in the other games against Georgia and Alabama, he was horrendous.
He cost them a shot at the college football playoffs.
Yes.
I mean, you could say they all did. Georgia. They lost to Kentucky. I get that. But that Florida game, they win that game I think they're in, and he threw two picks at the end of the game that were just atrocious.
I mean, the guy threw 11 picks over the last two seasons. He's a pretty clean quarterback overall. And I know games you're trying. I totally understand. But also, he beat Georgia. I mean, how many guys come into the draft have ever beating Georgia?
I mean, Riley Leonard just beat Georgia. He didn't put up a lot of huge numbers in that game. It was a rainstorm.
It's very rare. I mean,
Georgia
lost,
Tech,
like,
almost beat Georgia.
These quarterbacks that are out there, there's only like three or four who've beaten Georgia. So anyway, but again, Jackson Dart, like, I don't have to squint too hard to say he's a high prospect. Top 10 would shock me. I'd be totally surprised. There are a lot of guys here. I still think Milroe has a lot of fans. I think he didn't mention Jalen Milroe, but Jalen Milroe is clearly the by far the best athlete amongst these quarterbacks. So he could be interesting as, I still think, second round, but I think he's a very interesting possibility.
That's true. 855-212-4227. We're asking, what should the Raiders do at quarterback now that they really had their sights, I think, set on Matthew Stafford, and Stafford is now going back to the Rams. Sean is our pal in Oregon. Sean, you watching the combine. Do you like what you see?
I don't even watch the combine, brother. I'm going to put stock down on that.
Okay.
You know, they do these hand measurements. Well, does the football grow in the NFL? Isn't it the same size in college? You know, if you can hang on to the ball in college, you can probably hang on to it in the pros. You know, and then they check these, you know, how fast these guys are. You know, I like having a fast guy on my team, but I don't know how many times the fastest guy at the combine ended up being the number one wide receiver. I care how tough you are, mm-hmm. how you run your routes, and can you break tackles after you catch the ball. Throw these guys some grease pigs. That's what I'd like to see at the combine. Grease up a football and see how they catch that. That's what I'd like to see, bro.
You know, Sean, maybe we should expand the types of drills that we see at the combine. Thank you for the call. Sean always thinking outside the box. Maybe they should, you know, they do the wet ball drills.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe they should soak a couple of the balls and that, I, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Simulate the elements is what I meant to say.
No, it'd be cool. Actually, if you put on pads and jerseys and you line up 10 other guys around the quarterback and put 11 on the other side and maybe play a full game, it's called the tape. They do that. They don't need to simulate. They have tons and tons of games of watching these guys. So that's, I understand, because I've heard that argument. Simulate real games. Why? You have real games on tape.
I know, but it'd be kind of fun. Grease up the football a little bit. Let's, you know, let's get weird.
Yeah, I mean, the guys don't want to work out now.
Just like a mud pit somewhere. Offensive lineman versus defensive lineman, something like that. I don't know. I think Sean's right. Listen, if you're not asking these questions, what are you doing? And he's right about some of the straight line speed. I don't know. For the quarterbacks, I don't think it matters at all.
No, I mean, the NFL guys say it shows explosiveness. So that O-lineman who ran a 4.9 out of Missouri is definitely going high. I usually thought it was overrated, but then the Eagles started really taking fast 40s. And they, Quinion Mitchell and Cooper DeJean were superstars at this time last year. The Eagles took both of them. So now I'm starting to think maybe that does mean something. I mean, you don't want a guy who gets a 5.5 at play wide receiver like I would. What's your time?
I think I was a 5.56, something like that. I have a very upright running style, though. And I didn't get a chance to go twice, so I only had one unofficial time as opposed to two.
All right, we got to look that up in the combine database.
I think I was a 5.56 in Las Vegas. I think that Kansas City, I ran a little bit slower.
Must I know my speed from second to third base is very slow.
EJ,
I didn't make it.
Yeah, that put you out for a little bit.
Yes, it did.
Luckily, there were no stopwatches and no cameras for that.
So, when there were cameras, luckily nobody, people got me kicking the ball, not me running the bases.
Yeah, that's true. I hate to even tell you this. So obviously EJ tore his patella tendon in two different spots, tore up your knee in two different spots when we were playing a charity kickball game in the suburbs of New Jersey last summer. I wish that was a joke. That was all too serious. But do you guys, if you have an iPhone, do you know how they'll make like photo galleries for you?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So for some reason, my iPhone is making me photo galleries of like me and my family, me and my kid, you know, me and my husband. And then always the last photo is a picture of EJ on the bleachers that day. I don't know why. It's always the ending photo. I'm like, and there's sad EJ.
Me smiling through the pain. Deion Dawkins is like, it'll be okay, buddy.
And God, I'm like, I wonder why.
I'm like, I'm going to take a photo of this just like when we can all laugh about this someday. I'll have the photo, right? Like I didn't post it or anything, but I just have it. And it's always the last slide of my photo album.
Was it is because Lucas and Andy are in it? Like,
I think they were there that day.
I'm sure maybe that's why. Maybe if they figure, well, your family's was in the area.
Yeah,
so
right.
This random black man with a bad knee is also part of your family.
It's just such a great dismount off of the photo gallery. But it makes me feel bad because I get reminded of that bad day.
I don't feel that bad. Shouldn't have stolen third. I mean, why did you need third base? There was only one out.
We could not score any runs.
I know what you're saying, but
we had to manufacture something, and I manufactured a torn patellar tendon.
Trying to make a play.
There you go.
Man, I saw Deion Dawkins at the Super Bowl, and he goes, I know you. I was like, yes, you do know me. You do know me. A very memorable moment at your kickball tournament. 855-212-4227. What should the Raiders do at quarterback is the question we are asking you. Coming up next, let's dive into the Cowboys. Where's Jerry? Anyone? Try to answer that next. Soak a couple of the balls.
All right, welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. You know what that music means, Cowboy Quickie. So, Maggie, what have the Dallas Cowboys been up to during Combine Week?
I mean, hell if I know. Jerry didn't talk. Now, let that sink in. Jerry Jones did not speak to the media, Pearl, when he had multiple opportunities. Didn't stop in the hallways. No, I don't know if he ever does the podium, but did not do any of the channels that you could normally do to get the message out there. I'm flabbergasted. I mean, this is Jerry's thing.
Yeah. I tell you, I did read a little bit about the Cowboys this weekend, and I saw them get dunked on a little bit.
And what? For what?
So there was a report.
What now?
It was a report on Friday. They were offering defensive tackle Oso Digwaza. I probably mispronounced that. In fact, I'm sure. $21 million a year. And I was like, $21 million a year? That makes him like the 14th highest non-quarterback in the entire NFL. Now they're going to franchise tag him at $25 million a year. Why do they let these guys get... First of all, who is this guy? He's never been to a Pro Bowl, and he's going to get $25 million a year at a position that doesn't pay that much. To me, I was like, oh, God, the Cowboys once again let a guy get to the end of their contract and are going to pay through the nose. This can't be good. Like, they don't... It seems, once again, they have no idea what they're doing.
Well, I think they definitely have a blind spot on their own guys that they draft.
Yep.
And I think they're incredibly loyal to those guys. And I guess I think they would also say, how can we let people who are run stuffers get out of the building when this is clearly one of the biggest issues that the Cowboys have is not being able to stop the run.
But that's a guy who's been there trying to stop the run.
Well, I get it, but you know, you're going to have to add pieces around him, but do you not let pieces like that go?
I just thought it was funny. I'm like, oh my, $25 million a year for a defensive tackle. Like, he better be Jalen Carter. And I just don't see the way the Cowboys play defense. So all the Cowboys fans were like, oh, my God, Jerry, you're going to pay this guy? You go all in. You're not going to pay $8 million for Derrick Henry, but you're going to give this guy all this money? So it feels like the Cowboys, to your point, are lost. Like, I'm not hearing a lot of confidence heading into free agency because they screwed up so bad last year.
That's your Cowboy Quickie.
And there's a report, right, that they're starting to talk to Micah Parsons.
Yep.
Does anyone have any faith that they'll handle this the right way?
I mean, what's the right way? Now it's just paying him.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yes, except, you know, when will they pay him?
Well, I said mark it down 3 days before the season starts.
That's is that when they September or August? Is that late August or September?
You know, I don't know. But I think the Jerry not talking is really significant. And maybe he was sick or maybe, you know, whatever. But he just never passes up these opportunities. Like a drug to him, the cameras.
All in.
But was he at the combine?
Yeah. No, reporters saw him. How about this? He was dressed in a black jacket, black hat, and sunglasses like a famous actor leaving Nobu Malibu, according to The Athletic. Also declined to talk while leaving the team's hotel Saturday morning, adding he would speak to reporters when he gets back to Dallas.
So what do you think it means?
I don't know. I'm just noticing it.
Why?
I'm not the only person who noticed it, obviously.
Why?
Because it is a break from tradition. I guess he normally has people go on the
bus.
Jerry bus in Indy and they chit-chat.
Yeah,
so
the
something
Johnny
Walker is
flowing on the bus.
Yeah.
We've covered combines before. Bogish and I don't know, or Perloff and I, excuse me. The bus is parked right outside of Lucas Oil Stadium with a big fat star on it.
I think he was trying to get some big-time business done. And he was like, I'm not saying nothing until I either get it done or don't.
So he doesn't trust himself to not say anything.
Right.
You mean like league business or player business?
Player business or team business.
Mm. Well, there's no player business.
Well, the rumors were they were calling Tennessee.
For
that's
number
what,
one?
I saw
that's
that
what 105.1 was saying in Dallas. Shout out to them. Or 105.2, maybe?
Three.
Sorry. Three.
Yeah, seven. I saw
strike
that.
Strike one, strike two.
Eight, nine.
The Fan in Dallas.
Yes, explain to me. Love them.
In a million years how that
could
happen.
It's their fault. There's a guy named S-H-A-N, and it's not Sean. It's Sean, not Shan. It's they're all over the place.
I love Zach, too, who's in the afternoon. He's my guy.
Dallas.
Those guys. But, yeah, no, I mean, that. So, like, look, it's a pipe dream. I'm not saying they could have done it. I'm just saying, like, that's what was being said. So if you're trying to make a deal like that, maybe you're like, hey, let's maybe not open our mouths this weekend.
Here we go!
Yeah, I mean, you could have said that 25 times during Jerry's tenure, and he still finds the camera. Interesting stuff. All right, quickly, John is in Boise, wants to weigh in on quarterbacks that we saw in this class. What's up, John?
Hey, so, you know, hand size, speed, all that is great, but I think one thing teams need to look at is a quarterback in college's passer rating versus the blitz. Mm. Daniel Jones had the lowest passer rating versus the blitz and the lowest touchdown to interception ratio in the history of college football, where Jaden Daniels had the highest passer rating and the highest touchdown to interception ratio versus the blitz out of any quarterback that's ever played in college football. So I think that is, you know, something that teams need to look at instead of, you know, how high they can jump, how fast they can run.
Yeah, some information that Dave Gettleman could have used a couple of years ago, John, who selected Daniel Jones back then. Thank you for that. Passer rating versus the blitz.
Yeah, I like it.
It's smart. But here's the thing. What I was always told about passer rating versus the blitz, you know who has like one of the highest in the league?
Who's that?
As far as current quarterbacks? Derek Carr. Always has this incredible passer rating versus the blitz, and he hasn't won diddly squat.
He's got an incredible passer rating all the time. He's sick when he's on the field.
Can't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, because he did. He took the loss. Then Oakland Raiders were 13-3 record. It's an all-time achievement. Yeah, he gets hurt a lot. You know who's really good against the blitz? Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts is also good against the blitz.
That's a great. I love that piece of analysis because you have to make a quick mental decision against the blitz, and that's what you can't measure in shorts is how these guys process. So it's a really good point. I wonder if that plays out long term. Now, also, too, you got to have, when you make that call to our show, it'd be nice if you had Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders stats against the blitz.
Well, so, I mean, he's not a research team.
Well, it'd be nice. Now we have to look that up. Well, he had a very well thought out point. He was on hold. He could have Googled that.
Do more for us, is what Perloff is saying.
Yeah.
That's not your job.
No, I agree with John Boys. Just give us the actual
passer.
By the way,
you want to know Cam Ward stats against the blitz. At least midway through last season, he was first in touchdowns, second in passing yards, and second in completions.
McMuffin or something like that. Yeah.
At Miami, ACC, the nation?
This was at Miami.
No. Who first and second in what? The league or the nation?
This was the country, I believe. This is according to PFF. This was midway through the season. There are now... Later in the year, again, his numbers ended up being 69% completion percentage, 19 touchdowns, 3 picks, a passer rating of 130.2. Shedeur Sanders' numbers also are really good. 68% completion percentage, 1,400 yards, 15 touchdowns, 2 picks, 181 QB rating.
That's a good sign.
Pretty good.
But by the way, just so you know, Cam Ward's overall rating was 172.2 last year. So it's pretty good against a non-blitz as well. What about the non-blitz? You ever think about that, John and Boise?
When he mentioned that point, I kind of thought, to me, I'd like to see how you are under pressure with a four-man rush. Because, like, the problem with the Chiefs was that they were bringing four, and not even Mahomes was able to do anything. We've seen Tom Brady struggle when teams bring four men or even three men to get pressure. Like, what is your stats when you have to actually read a defense and there's four guys at you and you're still under pressure?
You know who I think is really good against the blitz? Double check. I think Sam Darnold kills the blitz. You have to check that one, too. You're right. It's deceiving. But I thought we had a cheat code here, and now you guys are ruining it. The number against the blitz. I've always looked for that cheat code, a quarterback. If you could have that one number that shows you something, it'd be really helpful. It's definitely not the 40. Like, quarterbacks does not matter, right?
No, definitely not. Did you also, speaking of, numbers, did you see that the Raiders are shoring up their analytics department?
No.
Yeah. Apparently, they've been lacking, and now John Spytek, new man in charge, get to put some more numbers to this thing.
Can't hurt.
Good luck.
Yeah, they can use anything at this point, right? Like more numbers, more letters. When I go into hieroglyphics.
Gonna say, does anyone speak Latin? Bogish has headlines for us. What's up, dude?
Anthony Edwards scored 44 as T-Wolves won in Phoenix, 116-98. A good night that almost ended badly.
And now 21 turns. Uh-oh. Showtime!
Oh,
He hit his head. I think he hit his head on the side of the backboard.
Beal fouled him and went airborne. And from our angle, it looked like we were blocked, okay? But I think that Beal hit him in mid-flight.
Mark Jones on ESPN, final 100 seconds of this game, Dante DiVincenzo bouncing the ball up for Edwards to slam it in, but Bradley Beal did give Edwards a mild shove while he was in midair, so the ball goes out of bounds, Edwards almost crashing the backboard, and then he falls to the court, avoiding any injury, thankfully. God. Edwards' composure has been an issue, but not in this moment, which head coach Chris Finch appreciated.
To me, it was a clear flagrant, you know, and for it to be a no call, then, you know, obviously you can see kind of the bewilderment, but, you know, he's going to have to keep working on it.
Yeah, as he mentioned, this was a nasty decision by Beal, and somehow all three officials didn't call a foul. They were giving the ball to Phoenix out of bounds.
Strong
until
disagree.
Review.
First, a couple things. Strong disagree. It was not a flagrant foul.
100%.
You can't push a guy when he's in midair.
Oh, come
dude,
on.
You can't do a dunk contest move in the middle of a game. Like, the T-Wolves were trying to embarrass the Suns. That was
you
ridiculous.
You love Vince Carter. Of course you can do a
the
dunk contest in the middle of the game.
The guy threw the ball on the ground. They almost brought a Kia onto the court. It was ridiculous.
Well, when you're up by 30, you
it
can
was
do
a totally
like
tacky
that.
Move to show up, and he barely pushed him with two arms. He didn't punch him in the stomach.
That was super dangerous.
Super dangerous.
Yes. Maybe it was dangerous, but it was a light shove. You guys are totally characterizing it the wrong way.
What are you playing, prison rules? I mean, sheesh.
You can't do what they did.
What are you, Maggie asking for violence here?
Honestly, the team should have gone. After that play, you should have gone to fight. Like,
I thought both teams should have fought. I thought the T-Wolves should have fought Beal for doing that to Edwards. And, yeah, I
the
no
Suns should have fought the T-Wolves.
The Suns should fight the Suns for being so bad at basketball.
I was going to say, what Suns is they're fighting nobody. They don't care. They want the season to end yesterday. I need to see something bloody.
You can, the move that Dante DiVincenzo went was over the top. If that happens, like, you're a coach, you have to say fight that team. You have no choice.
I know, but the Suns, nobody cares anymore on the Suns.
Maybe so.
Like, Kevin Durant called them embarrassing, which is hilarious to me about Durant because it was, I don't recall him saying, he said, we played embarrassing, the fans should be embarrassed, but never said, and I'm going to make sure this doesn't happen again.
So I think he did say, I want us to play better, I think he said.
Oh, cool.
Something along, it was a passive way, but he didn't mention that, like, we need to play better.
I just feel like he's always the wrong messenger, which is weird because, or not the wrong messenger. He's so good, he should clearly be the messenger. And I think when the big moment comes, he's not capable of delivering the message to the team.
It feels like when things go wrong with teams he's on, it feels like things happen to him, not him contributing to it.
I think ever. He starts looking around like, I can't wait to, I'm going to jump ship and just get out of here.
Right. And I think that's why people think of Durant the way they do.
Yeah.
I still can't believe Pearl thinks that was not a play.
I'm watching it. It is so soft. First of all,
in one motion,
he pushes him down. He's reaching his hand out to help him up, and he does help him up immediately.
No, because I think he realized that was a bad play.
Yeah.
Like Andy Edwards, maybe he doesn't want to be the face of the NBA, but he's an important piece of the NBA. He could have gotten seriously hurt. You don't hit a guy that
They don't
far.
Bounce the ball in midair for an alley-oop dunk. They weren't even open. There were four Suns around the play. It was ridiculously over-the-top dunk contest move in a row. Honestly, if I'm a coach, I would say just flat out brawl. That was a move to show up the Suns.
Coach,
the Suns don't care, but this was an occasion where you don't let a team do that to you.
Coach, you should have had the team playing a little bit better in the 15 minutes prior to that. Why are you showing fight so late in the game? How about you show some fight in the third quarter when the game's still in reach?
First of all, it was 112-93. In the NBA, that's a nail biter these days. So I don't know. They lost the game to the T-Wolves. A lot of teams lose.
Fourth quarter was embarrassing.
You don't get dunk contested on. You have to do that as a player.
Okay, then hammer him. He didn't even hammer. Like, so in typical Suns fashion, he half-assed it.
Yeah,
you
totally
want to punish him, knock him down, instead of just like this weird, like, in the middle ground shove that was just dangerous, but also not like straight on felony assault.
Yeah, you got to grab him before he gets in the air.
Yeah, catch him.
Yeah, you say, oh, you're not doing this. And you grab him, and then, yeah, I have zero problem with Beal taking a shot at Edwards. The issue is Edwards' head is above the rim. He has a 42-43 inch vertical, and you're even the softest touch at that point can flip him over his head. Like, it was an extremely dangerous play, and he's taking his hand out like, oh, sorry, bro. Like, no, you could seriously injured him.
I don't know. I think you're maybe overstating the danger aspect. I mean, Edwards barely even fell. He got right up.
Well, that's just
barely fell from 11 feet in the air.
What else you got, Bogues?
But yeah, Luka Doncic, 29 points, 9 assists. The Lakers won again, 108-102 over the Clippers. That's 6 in a row, 16 of 19 for L.A. The Thunder outscored the Spurs, 146-132. A career-high 41 from Jalen Williams, plus 31 from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And Manny's favorite team won as well.
Three-pointer for the lead. He got it! Jalen Brunson puts the Knicks in front.
Tyler Murray, MSG TV. Jalen Brunson with 31. His Knicks needed overtime to finally beat the struggling Heat, 116-112. Miami's lost 3 of 5 and 7 of 10.
Finally beat the Heat, huh?
Yeah, to finally beat them.
Yeah, I hope you have an ingrown nail later.
I have actually a split cuticle. It's driving me nuts. But I'd still be the Heat by
you deserve
in
it.
Regulation.
They don't ask how they did it, just how many.
The Jets said to be taking calls on Davante Adams right now, but releasing him is more likely than a trade since Adams has a $38 million cap hit for next season, and no one will want to put that on their docket. On the ice last night, Wyatt Johnston, a hat trick, and the Stars 6-3 home win over the Blues. The Devils lost in Vegas 2-0, plus stud center Jack Hughes left early with an apparent right shoulder injury. And Alex Palou won the IndyCar opener in St. Petersburg, Florida yesterday. Teammate Scott Dixon finished second, but Dixon and the team say he would have won the race had his radio been working at all. Apparently, he works for Odyssey. His crew heard him on occasion, but Dixon never heard them and still drove an entire race and almost won it.
It's pretty amazing to do that with no communication whatsoever. Yeah. I mean, I like leave my phone in the car when I like go to run an errand. I'm like, oh, God, something is very off right now, let alone 4 hours in a race car.
Yeah, and there's like a lot of strategy of, you know, pit stops and this guy's coming behind you and let's there's a crash and turn three, and he's just basically driving blind at 275 miles an hour.
That was a street course too, in the streets of St. Petersburg.
I know, I've been down there to see that race. Got into an IndyCar with Mario Andretti.
Name drop.
I know.
Seriously.
It was very scary.
Lehigh Valley's finest, by the way.
Yeah. They said there's no safer place you can be than in an IndyCar with Mario Andretti. I was like, that's false. I could be in my bed. I could be back at the hotel. I could be anywhere.
There are probably jungles that are safer than...
I could be ziplining in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, he's a legend, but, you know, he took off his helmet so I could meet him, and he's like, he was like 80.
My wife had 7 injuries. She got kicked by a horse. Mario Andretti's from Lehigh Valley. Is that what you
said? That's what I was thinking, man.
Yeah, he's from Nazareth. It's a big deal.
Mario Andretti?
The whole family.
The family is.
Yeah.
I thought Mario Andretti was from, like, I don't know, Milan or something.
He's from Italy. I honestly had no idea.
But once upon a time, I'm sure their family.
There's like a broken down, not up to the code, like, racetrack in Nazareth that they, like, owned and they ran and, like, they were the best at. Like, it's a big thing.
What's it now, haunted? Like,
no, it's just a deserted, fenced off thing. And you're like, what is this big field? And you can't even really see it because there's an angle where it's at.
Sure.
You're like, what is this big field that's just...
Come on, Mario, restore your community.
Yeah,
brother.
I mean, I'm like, yo, this would be dope. We had another racetrack back in the neighborhood. Like, I was actually hoping they would open back up.
I mean, he's got now his son, grandson. They're all in it. It doesn't have to be all on Mario.
Oh, okay. Well, then how about
Marco?
All of the Andretti's. Marco Belletti, Marco Andretti. I don't care. Somebody
Marco
chip
Belletti,
in.
Marco Belletti, update anchor. I know. I can't believe Marco Belletti didn't get on that.
Marco Belletti is a race car driver. It would be quite interesting.
Never liked that Marco Belletti.
Doesn't fit the profile.
No, definitely not.
Okay. Bogus, thank you. Lots to do, including the last person.
I just pictured Marco in a flannel shirt and a Yankee hat. Exactly. Climbing into it.
No helmet.
Suit, no helmet. Marco just in his Metallica t-shirt with the Yankee hat, just complaining.
Are those flammable? Those
yes.
Marco's the best. Oh, I miss him.
No, he's awesome.
Okay. Lots to do, including the last person I ever thought we'd see in this headline. The last. 1,000 guesses when it got to this person. I'll tell you about it.
Take me out to the ball game. What are you doing? Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. You could have given me 1,000 guesses, and I would not have arrived at the headline that I saw over the weekend.
Jeez, 1,000.
1,000 guesses. I did not realize that because the Giants so royally screwed up off-season Hard Knocks that no other NFL team will now allow the franchise to do a version of off-season. Everyone said no. Every single one passed. So who decided to take up the torch for off-season Hard Knocks, Perloff? Bill Belichick and the North Carolina Tar Heels. And the reason why you could have given me 1,000 guesses is because this was the guy who never did Hard Knocks when he was actually with the New England Patriots.
That's true.
We never got to see anything behind the curtain. Nothing. We couldn't even get a sniff. And now first year at North Carolina, open the doors, HBO, come on in.
Well, I don't. Yeah, it's weird. Also, what is an offseason college? What does that mean? There is no offseason. I mean, they don't have like free agency in the draft.
Well, you got the transfer portal. And you got in-home recruiting visits and stuff like that. I'm excited to watch it.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Bill Belichick could have some editorial control over this. They let the teams have a certain amount of control. So is Bill just going to put the kibosh on anything that's actually interesting and cool?
But when... So they've been filming all along.
I have to imagine they've already been filming quite a bit. So who is this Bill Belichick who loves the cameras? I mean, it's like he was on every media outlet you could possibly be on in his last season away from coaching. And now Hard Knocks? Is this his girlfriend? Is she like, no, you should really do this? I don't know. Is Hard Knocks, you know, in with the 24-year-old crowd?
No, definitely not.
I don't know. Manny, is it Hard Knocks, young people?
Not a chance.
Okay. Hard Knocks is even, that is a relic of the past, obviously, in an era where everything's on TikTok and Instagram. The fact that HBO still sticks cameras around the franchises is ridiculous.
I don't know. I mean, the Giants definitely made a lot of headlines in the worst way possible.
I think it is good for spouses. Like, yeah. I feel like we saw a lot about, like, I feel like Kyle Juszczyk's
wife
became a big deal on wide receivers.
George Kittle's wife.
George Kittle's wife became, like,
well, I that
like,
was Netflix, too.
Right, yeah, it's different same breed, kind but, like, thing, same though. Deal, yeah. I feel like it's...
Oh, Netflix? She's going to be on this thing, the girlfriend.
Netflix does it a little differently, though. Like, they're a little more... I don't know what those are cooler. For some reason, if you told me a Netflix doc, I would have been like the show Quarterback One and all that stuff. I would have been more into it. The Hard Knocks feels kind of like an old school curated, a lot of sprinklers.
Yeah. Well, that's the regular, that's training camp, right? This one is going to be a little bit different. I'd like to see, you know, Belichick going into a recruiting visit. That's kind of cool. Go into someone's, you know, living room. And
I guess that's kind of cool. Yeah. I mean, for the, it's obviously a smart move because colleges have to market themselves. Like NFL teams have a salary cap. They don't care about right. any of that. So it makes sense. I still think this whole North Carolina thing is going to be two steps forward, one step back. I don't think they're going to be that good immediately. So he's
I
got
know
this
how
hard
interested
knocks
you are on that subject.
He's going to, if they do this Hard Knocks and they end up 4-8, won't that look bad?
I think you get the first year. Little like with Deion in Colorado, you know, I think you have somebody who's going in. Well, Deion already was a coach, but I think you get a little bit of a grace period, maybe win one or two games you're not supposed to win. People get excited about it. And then it's whatever year two.
Yeah, I mean, you're so? Right there. They are in the ACC. I mean, if you can walk and chew gum, you can win nine games. So
jeez, bro.
I mean, let's be realistic. Although Duke is supposed to be really good now. Generally, though, you're right. He has a good chance here, but I don't think they give him much time. He's 72. I don't know if you get a year. I think there's going to be a lot of pressure immediately. And this adds to it. That's my point. Basically, he's setting himself up like, okay, we better be pretty good.
Yeah, no, I mean, the bar is going to be pretty high, I guess. I don't know. I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth. I can see that. I guess, like, you're saying
higher.
North Carolina's not going to give him a lot of time. North Carolina will give him all the time in the world. This is huge for them.
He's 72. How much time? I don't think so. I think there's pressure immediately. As you get higher and higher profile, I think it adds to it immediately. And North Carolina, yeah, I hear what you're saying. North Carolina gave Mac Brown forever, but he won a lot of games. I think the public will be all over him if he's bad. Kind of like Deion. Deion, when it was good, it was great. When it was bad, it was bad. You get a lot more attention for either direction.
Yeah, that's true. Belichick is polarizing. You know, there's a lot of people still, you know, think he was a cheater and, you know, cutting corners and fast and loose with the rule book and stuff like that.
So let me ask another question. Is Bill Belichick going into living rooms? I can't find. I know Deion will not go into a living room anymore.
No, Belichick is.
He is.
Yep.
And is that still a thing in college football anymore? Does anybody want to go into, isn't the whole thing the transfer portal? Isn't that the whole game now? That's what I'm curious to see. What percentage of their energy goes in the transfer portal? What goes into the recruits?
Well, I think it's got like the NFL. I think a lot of it's the draft and then you supplement with free agency. I think in football, you still have to recruit out of high school. I really do think that.
Yeah,
I think in basketball, you don't have to anymore.
I'm
like
not
Rick
sure.
Pitino said, he's like, I'm not going into high schools. I'm not recruiting high school. I'm just going in the transfer portal, but I only need 12 guys, 15.
I'm just thinking of quarterback. I mean, obviously, quarterback, almost everybody transferred now. Basically, how many quarterbacks are in this draft and how many transferred?
Oh, all of them.
I think all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Milroe. Milroe never transferred.
You're right about that.
So generally, though, so I wonder, especially here's the thing, like Deion had to win immediately. Bill Belichick.
Did he have to win immediately? They won four games and it was lauded as a success.
Kind of. Well, there was a lot of pressure on him.
Colorado was also in the tank.
Deion might have done
one game the year before.
Deion might have done that to himself where he had a lot of pressure to win immediately. I think Belichick has a ton of pressure.
And Hard Knocks definitely will ratchet it up.
Yeah,
you're not
going to
watch this. You are going to watch this.
I'll probably watch it, but he's a Hall of Fame coach again. Hard Knocks, look what happened to the Giants. It looked good at the time until Saquon ran for 2,000 yards.
They're taking a risk here. One I can't wait to watch. Thank you to EJ Stewart. Thank you to Manny Rodriguez. Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Chris Rose, who joined us from Indianapolis, where he was anchoring NFL Network's scouting combine coverage. Thank you to the Weedos and the Coffee Drinkers. You guys on the phones are fantastic. We'll see you tomorrow.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more.
Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.